I want to share some thoughts out of Matthew chapter 21, if you would please. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, first 11 verses. I want to talk a little bit about Palm Sunday. That's what this is, Palm Sunday. I want to kind of explain for those who may not know why we call it that. I want to kind of explain that through this little passage today. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. I believe the words will be on the screen as well. Starting at verse 1, Matthew 21 says this. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet in the Old Testament. "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the Old Testament prophet had said that your Messiah is coming, and you'll know he's there because of a number of things in the Old Testament prophecies, but one of them will be he's going to be riding on a donkey into the city. So this is evidence of fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. They set him on the donkey. Another passage that describes this incident says that they had never been ridden before. So he's riding an unbroken animal. For you that know anything at all about animals, and especially riding animals, that was a miracle in itself. Amen? And a very great, verse 8, a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches. And another version of this same story in the gospel says palm branches. So that's why we call this Palm Sunday. This is happening a week before the resurrection. So they laid down their clothes on the roadway, their coats, and then palm branches, kind of a way they did for a king coming in to a city after a great victory. They cut down branches from the trees, spread them on the road. Then the multitudes, verse 9, who went before and those who followed cried out saying, and what they began to say is taken from one of the ancient Psalms. It says, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And the word Hosanna simply meant, in the Old Testament, it meant God save us, or Lord save us. And it came to be known, the definition was, the Lord is our salvation, or he has saved us. So when we say Hosanna today, we can say that God has saved us. So let's all say Hosanna together. Hosanna, okay, rolls off pretty easy. And it means God has saved us. How many are glad that God has saved you? Amen? That we are living for Christ, that we've given our hearts to the Lord. And when he had come into Jerusalem, verse 10, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." In another version of this same story in the Gospels, it says that the children were even included as they begin to praise the Lord, as they begin to say Hosanna. So Palm Sunday, the Sunday we're in today, is all about giving Jesus the glory and the praise and recognizing him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and as Messiah. Amen? And I love it that children were involved in that. Years ago, when we decided to have an Easter egg hunt, I thought, you know, we're going to have that on Palm Sunday. Because that's the Sunday where the kids were rejoicing in the Lord. And so we thought, what a great opportunity to invite children in and tell them the true meaning of Easter. And how many know that is that Jesus rose from the dead, right? So that's what the children are learning today in Sunday school and then in kids' church. They're learning that Easter is about resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, and I'm all for the Easter Bunny. I have no problem with the Easter Bunny, but I just want to make sure that the kids know Easter is really about Jesus first, right? Matter of fact, I was traveling the other day and I saw a church reader board and it said these words. It said, "Silly rabbit, Easter's for Jesus." And I thought, that is so cute, amen? So the kids have learned or are learning about the resurrection. It's about Jesus. They'll learn that next week as well. But then they go outside, and I love to watch it. I mean, the little ones have this section around the building. The older kids are out there in the north lawn. And you know, you see all these eggs. And thank you, by the way, there's thousands of eggs out there. And thank you for doing them and filling them. But just in a moment, it's like a miracle. Those eggs will be gone. It's like, you know, all these little vacuum cleaners just start picking up all the eggs. And to see the excitement on their faces and to see the excitement on the parents' faces, knowing the children will bring home way too much sugar and that you have to deal with that. I'm sorry, but you have to deal with that. But what a joy to see kids be able to just enjoy the day. And how many think our kids are worth it? Amen? Amen. So this is then Palm Sunday. This is why we call it Palm Sunday. The king is riding in. Up to now, Jesus has made it clear to the disciples for 3.5 years. I don't want anyone to know I'm the Messiah. I don't want anyone to know that I am the Savior. Or not the Savior, but the Messiah. I don't want them to know that. And now, though, Jesus has said, now it's time. I'm going to allow people to call me the Savior. I'm going to allow them to call me the Messiah. And so by getting on that little donkey, riding into that city, he is taking the position of a conquering king and is saying, it's okay. Remember last week, we talked about Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. That set in motion some events that were going to lead to him being arrested. But now what he does on Palm Sunday, he just makes no mistake about it. Let everybody know, I am the Messiah. And shortly after riding in on that donkey, he goes to the temple, and that's when he takes this whip and begins to overturn tables of those who were taking advantage of the people. And people were astounded that he would do that. And he would make this declaration, "You have made my father's house a den of thieves," and it was intended to be a house of prayer. And he was really tearing up the place. Amen? And so the events are beginning to be unfurl. The people are shouting Hosanna. The city is electrified with excitement. Verse 10, "Who is this?" the city said. They were moved with excitement, but the enemies of the king were furious. Not everyone loved Jesus. Not everyone welcomed him as Messiah. There were those, either they didn't believe it or they believed it, but they didn't want him to be proclaimed king. And his enemies began to plot. So the stage is set for the rest of what we know as the Christian church as Holy Week. The stage is set for his arrest, the sham trial that he will go through, then the crucifixion. And then comes Sunday morning, the resurrection from the dead, and we call that Easter, and we'll be celebrating that next week. Hallelujah. That Jesus is alive. How many believe that? Jesus is alive. Yeah. And we celebrate that next week, which is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. So hold on to your seats. Holy Week is upon us. Lots going on. Now, Jesus rides in on this donkey. Now, I have never ridden a donkey. I have ridden a horse a time or two, but I have never ridden a donkey. But my claim to fame is I have ridden a cow. I'll tell you the story in brief. Some of you have heard a little bits of it, but when I was just a little guy, me and my two brothers, three of us, we were always getting into some kind of trouble, all right? I know I'm the only one that did that. No, everyone here was perfect children, right? Yeah. So we went to this farm of a friend, and this little farmer's son said to us, you know, you can ride that cow. And he pointed to this big Holstein cow, not a bull, but a cow out there in the pasture. She's a little older, I think, and they just kind of kept her there. And she was, and I don't mean this in any way, please don't take offense at this, but this Holstein cow was pretty well endowed. Her bag was really, really big. Okay? So he said to us, you can ride that cow. And we were just ignorant enough to believe him. And he said, here's the thing. He says, all three of you get on the cow and then take this stick with you. Here's the way you make her go. You take the stick and you hit where the tail comes up on the back, on her back. You hit that and it's like the gas pedal and she'll go. But he said, hold on to the tail because that's like the brake. And when you pull the tail, she stops. So we believed him. So up on this cow, me, my brother Danny, my brother Ronnie, we get on this cow, and we're ready to go. We're out in this little pen enclosure, and they said, do it, do it, do it. And so I did it. I sat in the back. I was in control. It's a control thing I have, all right? I'm sitting in the back, and I took the stick, and I began to hit that little spot on her tail. I had the tail in it, and I'm hitting the spot, and she's not moving. She's just chewing her cud. And they hit her a little harder, so I'm hitting her a little harder, like that. And nothing's happened. Oh, come on, Eddie, hit her. And so I went, bang. And when I did, I heard this moo. And boy, she took off like a flash. And we're riding this cow, and her bag is hitting us on the side of the head. And we're just going, and it's and they begin to get scared, and they said, stop her, stop her, stop her. And so I started pulling the brake. And she's not stopping, and she's getting closer to the barn, closer to the barn. And I kept pulling and pulling, and finally I gave one pull, and she stopped dead in her tracks. And three little towhead boys went over her head into the manure pile. That's where we ended up. That's my cow story. I'm not exaggerating, and I'm sticking with it. I have not ridden a donkey, but I have ridden a cow. Amen. Jesus invited the disciples to follow him. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So they followed him. He invited people to follow him. Whoever it was, he said, you just follow me and you'll have the ride of your life, if you will. And today, I'm convinced that Jesus invites us to follow him. Come along for the ride because it's going to be the ride of your life. Amen? Come along with him and follow Jesus, a ride of your life. What a ride it was for the disciples as they came along for the ride with Jesus, recorded in the Gospels, but also in the book of Acts. The disciples discovered that if you're going to ride with Jesus, it'll be daring, but it'll be dangerous. They saw some daring things took place. After Jesus was ascended and taken into heaven, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They went to the gate beautiful of the temple, and a crippled man, excuse me, was there and was begging for money. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Finish it with me, would you? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And guess what? He was healed. Amen. What a daring, daring thing that was for them to do, to step out in faith. What a ride that was. Wow, look at the miracle. But it was also dangerous because shortly thereafter, they were taken into custody and they were questioned and they were threatened and said, don't ever do that again. It was daring, but it was dangerous, this ride with Jesus. They would discover that it was a daunting ride, but a doable ride. They remembered that Jesus had said, if you have faith to believe, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will be moved for you. And so they would face some daunting situations. They would face some daunting things that when they looked at them, they appeared to be like mountaintops for them. How in the world is God going to do this miracle? How in the world is God going to do this? He was preaching one day, and he preached so long that a young man was sitting in the window of the house and fell out and broke his neck and he died. Don't ever say that I preach long. Come on. They ran downstairs and they saw that it was a daunting task, but they laid hands on him. His name was Eutychus. And they prayed, Lord, bring him back to life. And he came back to life. Hallelujah. It was doable. So it was a ride that would be daring but dangerous, daunting but doable. Jesus had said, you can do this. Ride along with me and see what we can do. The disciples also discovered that this ride with Jesus would have to be deliberate, but they would have to be decisive. They would have to deliberately say, we're going to ride with Jesus. No matter where he leads us, no matter what he calls us to do, we're going to be deliberate about it and we're going to be decisive. None of this wishy-washy stuff. None of this, I'll serve Jesus when it's easy, but I won't serve Jesus when it's hard. No, the early disciples were decisive and they were deliberate and it cost them their lives. It cost all of them their lives. They gave their lives for Christ, but they had made the decision, we are going to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And how many know that's what we have to do today? Amen. We have to be decisive and we have to be deliberate in coming along for this ride with Jesus. And what a ride that it will be for us. What I've called this morning the following Jesus ride. The following Jesus ride. What kind of a ride is that? Well, sometimes, or no, not sometimes, but all the time, it's a life changer. How many know that if you're going to ride with Jesus, it's going to change your life? Amen? Now, if it doesn't change your life, then you're not riding with the right Jesus. Come on. If you're going to ride with Jesus, if you're going to give your heart to him and say, truly, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life, it will change your life. You're going to have to decide, am I going to live in the world or am I going to live for Christ? And I want to tell you, the much better choice is to live with Christ. Amen. And it'll be a life changer. It will change us. And But sometimes it's also, this ride with Jesus is a cliffhanger at times. We're not sure what's going to happen. We're not sure how God's going to come through. You see, we have the TV mentality. The TV mentality says every problem ought to be solved in a half an hour or an hour. Or if it's continued next week, by the end of the season, it'll be solved. Come on, come on. I mean, be honest. You don't watch TV? First service watches TV. Okay. How many know we get to thinking that it's got to, God's got to do it right now? We're the microwave generation. How many of us put something in the microwave and press it for 30 seconds and then stand there like it's taken 3 hours? Yeah, I've done that. I've done that. Why is this taking so long? 30 seconds. My goodness. We want it quick. We want it now. But sometimes life with Jesus, if we're going to ride with Jesus, it's going to be a cliffhanger. We may not know how it's going to end for quite some time. Guess what? God is not on our time. He's on his time. Praise God. Amen. But it is worth waiting on the Lord. It's a lifestyle taken right out of the Bible when we decide to ride with Jesus. It's a lifestyle taken right out of the Bible. You read that list of Bible characters in Hebrews chapter 11. And those are just ordinary men and women who dared trust an extraordinary God. And God did incredible things for them. And that's what our lives can be if we're going to ride along with Jesus. It's going to be like a life taken right out of the Bible. Now, I've always, and I guess it's people my age, I've always thought, it would be so cool. And again, I don't want to offend anybody, and I won't. But I always thought it would be so cool to be on a Harley and just ride down the road and let the air just blow, well, used to have hair, and just be free, just, oh. And then I come to my senses and say, no, just crazy people do that. No, I'm kidding. I've never been able to do that. I'm not a great advocate of things with two wheels and a motor. But I've always thought it would be so cool to be able to do that. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Some of you that ride, especially you ladies, you're thinking, you wimp. That could be. And some of you are thinking, you just wait. I'll get you on my bike, Pastor. Yeah, when cows fly. That would be quite a ride, wouldn't it? No, anyway. I've never ridden them, but I know it's exciting. It must be for someone to be able to ride like that. There's just something about it. It's just a presence. You know, people have told me that like doing that. I had a best friend named Larry, and that's what he did. He rode those bikes, and he said there's something about it. You just feel there's something there that you feel. The one and only time I tried riding, it was a Yamaha. And I know you Harley riders think that's not considered them anyway, but anyway, he said, you got to ride it, Ed. I said, no, I better not. He said, no, you got to ride it. And when he said that, I'm thinking of the cow thing. Matter of fact, I think I said to him, I don't have a stick. But finally I gave in and I said, okay, all right. He said, well, this is how you do it. You take here, you know, it's easy. And he said, just take it slow. And somewhere I missed that. And so I went fast. Boom, bang, gravel everywhere. And I ended up in the blackberry bushes with that Yamaha or whatever it was on top of me. And I said, that's the end of my riding days. But I want to tell you this. When you decide to ride with Jesus, with that ride comes the presence of Jesus Christ. And he has said in his word in Matthew 28:20, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you're going to ride with Jesus, he's promised he's going to be there with you. Amen? He's going to be there with you. What a promise that is. Think of that. That Jesus could dare promise you and I who choose to ride with him in this life we call being a Christian, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, ever, ever will I leave you. I'll be there right there. I'll be there right there in my presence. With the ride with Jesus comes not only the presence, but there comes some perks. And let me just give them to you real quickly. The perks of riding with Jesus, first of all, there's more than just these, but the first one that I thought of was peace. John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. There is something about having peace in your soul. And that is one of the perks of riding with Jesus, is you can have peace that passes all understanding. You can get rid of a lot of things out of your life and you can make it, but you take peace away and you're not going to make it very long. That's why it's important that God's people rely on Jesus to supply the peace that passes understanding. Amen? When you go through a problem, a difficulty, a situation that's beyond your control, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but if you'll just give me peace, I can make it. There's something about the peace of God that helps us. Peace doesn't mean the absence of war. It means a settledness inside, knowing no matter what happens, you're going to make it through. That's the kind of peace that Jesus gives on his ride. Amen? Gives that kind of peace that says, we are going to make it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Secondly, the perk that comes with the ride is hope. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul said. Hope. What an incredible word that is. When people lose hope, it's almost over. That's why it is so important that we try to instill hope within people and we keep hope within ourselves. You know what hope is? Hope is just that knowing that this thing is going to work out okay. I don't know how, I don't know when, but hope says it's going to. About a year and a half ago, you remember the little program we had in the city and several of the churches, the pastors, we were all preaching on the same thing. And the subject was hope is greater than despair. And you can still see those signs. I don't know about you, I've still got mine in my yard. And everyone that comes around that busy corner where I live sees that sign, hope is greater than despair. You know why? Because that's the truth. And that's one of the perks of riding with Jesus is it gives us hope. Hallelujah. And we desperately need hope in our world, don't we? Thirdly, one of the perks that comes with riding with Jesus is love. And I know that's an overused expression sometimes, but it is so powerful. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Is love. When you ride with Christ, you're riding with someone who loves you. Loves you so much that he gave his life for you on the cross. You know, I grew up in a home where, even though my mom didn't serve the Lord all her life, she loved her boys. A grandmother that loved God, but she loved her grandchildren. No matter what her grandchildren, she loved them. She loved them. And I remember my mom used to tell me, and my brothers, she said, look, I don't care how old you get, I don't care where you go. If you're around me, I'm going to hug you. And she meant it. After I got married, we visited her, and she got that little finger, and she went like that to me. And I knew what was coming. I walked over and bent down, and she kissed me. She kissed me. That was mom. That was mom. And so when my kids were growing up, I told them, I love you both, and I'm going to hug you anytime I want. I don't care if your friends are around. I don't care if you're at school. If you like eating food and living under my roof. Now, I didn't embarrass them purposely, but pretty affectionate. We express that love, and we still do that today. My kids still wrap their arms around Grandpa and hug the old guys. My grandkids do the same thing. Praise God. And one of them, almost three of them's taller than I am. You know, when they hug me, it's like, you know. And the little guys, they just grab onto the leg, but they're hugging, loving. I want to tell you this. God loves every one of you that much. And you're sitting here today and you're thinking to yourself, no, God doesn't love me. Because if you knew how bad I was, you'd know that God couldn't love me. No, you're wrong. God loves every one of us. No matter how bad or good we are, he loves us. Amen? It's a perk. And then lastly, a perk that comes with serving Jesus is joy. John 15:11. These things I've spoken unto you that your joy may be full. There is a joy inside a believer. And it's not the ha-ha joy where you're laughing all the time. Because sometimes life happens and it happens in such a terrible way, you can't put a laughter to it. But there's a joy inside that is Jesus calls full. That, the word means complete. It means a joy that can't be taken away. A joy that knows that Jesus is in control of my life. Praise God. We need that kind of joy. And finally, if you ride with Jesus, you're going to have a guaranteed destination. I know where this ride's going to end up, you know. And it won't be the manure pile because I rode the cow. And it won't be the blackberry briars because I tried riding the motorcycle. The guaranteed destination for those who follow Jesus and ride along with him is we're going to be with him in heaven someday. Amen. And whether he takes us through death or whether he comes back the second time and takes his church all together, we have a final destination. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And that's the life you have when you ride with Jesus. It is life more abundantly. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We're just about ready. Your children will be waiting for you to check them out. And then parents with kids, just take them outside, get them to the areas and wait for us. And we'll give everyone the go sign so the kids can collect the eggs. But Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you rode into Jerusalem that day on that little donkey And Lord, it just inspires us to ride with you. I want to ride wherever you take us, Lord. I want to enjoy the ride. I want to ride with you, Lord, because I know it'll be a fulfilling ride. It'll be a ride that nothing can compare to. If there's someone here today that has not gone on board with Jesus, they haven't gone on the ride with him, I pray that right now they would just invite Jesus to come into their heart and their life. And they would say, Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want to ride with you, Jesus. I want to ride with you. I want the kind of life Pastor's been talking about up there. And I can only have that if I ride with Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray they'd open their heart right now and they would pray a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to ride with you. And what a change that you'll make in their life. Father, for just everyone today, I want us all to get on this ride with Jesus. What a great ride it is, knowing that together we can ride through anything and we're going to make it. Because Jesus is in control. Thank you for the service today. Thank you for both our services, for all the children. We just love them and appreciate them, and all the parents and grandparents that brought them. And help this be just a good day for everyone. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's clap to the Lord and thank him.